welcome everybody to the Fantasy Casting Agency podcast, the fortnightly podcast where we look at the reboot, remake, sequel, prequel, or adaptation of our favourite movie properties. And hi, I'm Ron, and I'll be joined by Nath from Animation Nation, and we're just going to jump right into the second part of our very special Animation Nation double feature. Last episode was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, this week it's Wacky Races.
This is a good one, Hanna-Barbera. Wacky Races has been on my mind for a number of years. It is actually a little passion project of mine, and if it ever does get made and they need me to do anything on the show, I'll definitely go across and go over there. This is one of the shows that I've been fantasy casting in my mind for years.
Ooh, it's going to be...
And years and years, so...
This is going to be a battle royale, I reckon.
I think it will
be. It's going to be a conflict.
Let's get ready to rumble!
We've just discussed, we'll each give our interpretations of what we think the movie should be, and then we'll start talking about casting per interpretation, because how I want it done could be very different to how you've got it done. We fans, we haven't discussed that yet, so we could end up being exactly the same. But as I said, I've been thinking about who could play these roles for a number of years. For example, Christina Applegate was my original choice as Penelope Pitstop. She's way too old for the role
way
now.
Way too old now, yeah.
But back in the day, she was my Penelope Pitstop. And Carey Hulls was my Peter Perfect. And people know him from Princess Bride.
Yep.
And the character he played in Princess Bride, I think would have... That perfect. Persona, the way he played, would have been perfect.
Did
Peter
it?
Perfect.
Yep.
Ah, very well done.
So how do you foresee Wacky Races to be interpreted now as a film?
It's going to be a mixture, obviously, of CGI and live action. And as this is the live action remake. And for people who are not familiar with Wacky Races, basically...
It's the Great Race.
It's the Great Race. Basically, it's the Great Race with cartoon characters instead.
With awesome cars that do awesome things. It's a bit like Speed Racer, Hanna-Barbera style, really. You know, there was guns and missiles and...
And
you know,
tanks and dragons and...
There's all sorts of stuff. Eclectic characters.
Yeah, and each racer, and there's 11 races in all, each racer is unique and different. So it's a totally different character for each one.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of clones along the way. So you get a lot of variety and a lot of variation. And when we were kids, we used to get the little chocolates. We used to have the little imprints of the cards, and we used to get little cards and stuff with it.
Wow, that's going back.
Yeah, so, well, that's because I do go back.
That's going back.
That's going back a long way.
Yeah.
But this is one of my passions. It's one of my favourite cartoons from the 70s from when I was a kid. It was actually one of my top fives. And I think I put that up on Animation Nation on top five shows that I used to watch as a kid. Yeah, so I've got very strong opinions on how I think this should be played.
Yeah,
and who I think should be cast, which you do as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you how I foresee the film to be made. I foresee the film to be made. Obviously, they tried to do the Wachowski
version of
sister
Speed Racer
was bad. It was really, 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 really bad. They tried, but
they were trying to do something different,
but it just didn't work.
A bit too far, and it didn't look appealing.
It didn't work, and that was really unfortunate because I love Speed Racer. It was a great 60s anime that really sort of brought to the forefront. And I'm really worried about some of the CG films that they have done that have been of Hanna-Barbera, you know, era. So they did Yogi Bear, for instance.
Yeah,
they've done Scooby-Doo.
Good.
Scooby-Doo wasn't too bad.
The
first one wasn't too bad. Still very camp, but, you know, it wasn't too bad. You know, they've now done the Smurfs. I mean, it's not Hanna-Barbera, but they've now done the Smurfs. They're doing Smurfs 2. So I do worry that when they do these, that they really do Chipmunks, for instance. They're catering towards a very specific market, which is a sort of that preteen sort of market.
Yeah,
that's where
kids.
They're going. And I don't want it to be like that, but I don't want it to be Speed Racer either. I want it to be somewhere in between. So using lots of CG elements, lots of fun, probably more along the lines of, even though it's not a great film, Around the World in 80 Days, with Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan, yeah. Yeah, I know that one.
Even though Jackie Chan wasn't the lead.
It was a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah. But similar along that line, not putting it on a racetrack, but actually putting it across America. So traveling from, say, LA to New York. setting it in our time period, but the actual characters are all from the 70 time period. You know, they're not 100%.
Well, even then, though, the characters are actually set from the 70s, from the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah. So you know,
they're really out of their element.
Yeah, so really keeping them out of their element. You know, they're all kind of freaks in their own way.
Yeah.
And having them travel from one side, from one destination to another, to win the grand prize, you know,
to be the greatest wacky racer.
Yeah, just like it's a mad, 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 mad world, you know. Yeah. I mean, same type. That's how I foresee the film should be.
My tact is a little bit different. I think that needs to... It is a kids' movie, but I think it needs to be sort of like what Pixar do, where they... It is targeted towards children, but they've put enough in there that adults will still get...
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So I think it needs to be down that track, and it needs to bring the kids in, because that's who they're going to sell all the toys to.
Yeah.
And then they can have the collectible range for me to buy.
Yeah.
So that's how I see it. I actually saw a different take. I like the idea of the original episodes where it used to be split into two races.
Right.
For a movie, I don't think one race would be... you could maintain it for one race, so I was going to... On my little diagram here, I've got a three-legged race, I called it, which is just a bit of a dad joke. But I would do it over three races, and it's 4 points.
Yep.
In between each race, then I would have, that's where the character development arcs would be for the main characters, who I'll talk about when we're coming up to the characters, discussing the characters and who's going to play them. But that's where their character development would be. And each race would then have its big set piece, which is the Dick Dastardly trying to do the...
Yeah.
To try and get in front and then trying to beat everybody else and do his little stunts.
Yeah.
So I think three big set pieces that go for 15, 20 minutes each, where each of the characters in one of those three set pieces has their moment to shine, is how I would do it. And then in between, as we have that, the story arc and the development of... And I was going to go the relationship between Penelope Pitstop and Peter Perfect.
Yep.
So that's where I was going to... That's how I would go with it. And I would also probably blend in The Perils of Penelope Pitstop for in between those movies and bring some of that arc in there. And that adds just that... Because you're never going to get a Perils of Penelope Pitstop movie.
Well, you might.
Well, you could. If Wacky Races are successful, they'll do what they did with Wacky Races. They'll spin off.
Yeah.
And then they might... And I'd like to see a pigeon just sort of float past Muttley and him just... look at it and get a little bit confused, and that's...
I'd actually like to see a pigeon pick something up and Dick Dastardly turn around to say, Muttley, stop that pigeon!
Those are the elements. These are the little elements that need to be written into the script, because people who are familiar with all of that would really enjoy that, get a laugh.
Yep.
And it's like the Skyfall movie when you see the Austin Martin and you hear all the little fanboys go, oh, the Austin Martin, oh, the car. And
I clapped in that film, by the way, when I saw that.
Yeah, I've heard that story as well.
I did clap.
But I think that's the nod to the fanboys. Like, I actually got excited when I saw her throw the coat onto the hat rack. And I was that's Moneypenny.
Yeah.
And I knew straight away, definitely Moneypenny. And I was wrapped for that. And then you see the big padded door and when it goes in, you see Ralph Fiennes. So I think those little elements need to be built into this.
I think actually your plan could work along with mine. So it could be one continuous race, but they have pit stops along the way.
The stopovers, so you get your points as you stop.
That's right. So it's the first person to that particular pit stop, and then the next one, and whatever's accumulated at the end, then they're the winner. Not only are they the first, but it's also the points. And so that's why you've got everybody pushing against each other at each particular leg as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if someone gets across the line first, they might not win it on points. But I think... having the gap in between allows you to do a little bit of the character development. So on their layovers, if they're going from coast to coast across America, if we go that pathway, which is actually quite viable, and I like that one too. If we go coast to coast, that's where you get your little story arcs. And I think if you're going to do the story arc of Penelope and Peter, then I think you could bring in elements of... I think you could bring in those elements, and that adds a little bit of drama in between on the race stops.
Yeah,
but it has to be a Dick Dastardly movie as well.
Oh, me. For sure,
he is the star. But where are you going to get your bang for your buck is who is going to be
the villain. Sort of he is the villain. He's the ultimate villain too. You know, that era, he was the ultimate villain.
Oh, he was fantastic, and I loved him, and I love Muttley, and I love the fact that Muttley's sort of that grey character that's sort of in between. He wants the villainy, he wants to win, but he also gets a bit of a buzz out of it not working.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. I'm a big, huge fan of Muttley, so he's probably my favourite character of the whole Wacky Race. He is my favourite character, which I think is true of everybody. Yeah. Well, not everybody. A lot of people would say the same.
Yeah.
Either a Dick Dastley or a Muttley fan.
Yeah. I think that you know, the idea that I had about going across a particular area of land is that you've got different elements. So you've got like forest, and you've got bodies of water that they can cross. You've got desert areas, you know. So it allows each of those characters and their cars, because their cars are their character. Is
cars
a
are characters.
Are characters,
yeah,
in their own right, to be able to show off the tricks they do. So, you know, rising in the air and the wheels are still on the ground, and using the tank to go over, you know, really bad terrain.
The buzzsaw to fly through the forest.
Yeah,
and cut
exactly.
A pathway for everyone.
That's exactly
the
right. You know, it's all those things.
The Baron just do his little chicken flight to get over a body of water that everyone else is trying to get across the bridge.
So it's giving those having a longer race gives it different landscapes to be able to allow those car characters to shine just as much as the human characters.
The other characters, yeah. And also, the different environments for the different Dick Dastardly plots, having a different environment, that means you can have each of those elements being quite unique and unique to the terrain that they're in as well.
Yeah.
Which, and those set pieces are going to be the big things that people remember.
Yeah.
It was interesting when I was doing the research by points. So are you actually aware who actually won Wacky Races based on the point system for Grand Prix?
Was it Red Max or Sergeant Blast?
No, it was the Slag Brothers.
It was the Slag Brothers.
The Slag Brothers actually win. And I'll put the points up on the Facebook page so that people can see based on finishing first, second or third.
Yeah.
Number of wins and points based on the Grand Prix system of the day. Who actually would have been the greatest wacky racer? It was actually the Slag Brothers.
The stupid ones.
Yeah, well, a couple of them are a little bit stupid. But I thought that was interesting.
Hilarious.
That they were the ones who got it.
Hilarious.
All right, so we have a sort of a similar, so as it turned out, when we were thinking we had different takes on it, we have a similar take on it, but let's see how we go when we go to casting our wacky races.
It's very heavy. I mean, I can see it being very heavy CGI. So,
yeah, a lot of CGI.
Like Muttley, for instance, he's definitely got to be CGI.
You got the dragon.
You got the dragon.
The bear. You got the badger.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of CGI elements.
Yeah. Any of those characters that are of the animal persuasion will definitely have to be in there. I suppose where do you want to start?
By car number.
Okay.
Car number 00 is Dick Dastardly. We're going to do him at the end.
Yep.
But car number 1 was the Baldermobile featuring the Slag Brothers, Rock and Gravel. For this, you've got two ways to go. Being that they're cavemen and predominantly all hair.
I would see them as CGI. I couldn't see them as anything else, unfortunately.
Well, I got a different idea for that one. CGI could be the way to go and probably will be the way they will go to do it.
Because essentially it's Captain Caveman.
Yeah, well, Captain Caveman was derived from these guys.
Yeah.
So how I would do it, though, is I'd actually have a couple actors in there with long hair, and I actually was going to go Sean William Scott and Ashton Kutcher. Bring in Where's My Car?
Where's My Car? That would be great.
Maybe even voicing
the characters. I would just say voicing the characters for the CGA, and I totally agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so that's how I went with that one, because the dude wear my car, it's they can wear the long hair, and I just think it's a little trip to the fanboys for that one.
Yeah.
The car number 2 was the Creepy Coop with the Gruesome Twosome.
The Gruesome Twosome, yeah.
I'll throw to you to see who you think could be the Gruesome Twosome.
As Gruesome Big, I was saying Jason Segel for Gruesome Big, and for Gruesome Little, I was saying Seth Green. That's who I had in mind for those two.
Now, folks, Nath has not looked at what up on the website.
I chose
my Gruesome Twosome art.
I chose not to.
And he chose not to so that we could actually have a conversation about this. As it turns out, he has picked the two that I picked.
Oh, really? Wow, that's amazing.
Exactly the same.
That's amazing.
I threw out a potential another option for Little Gruesome.
Yeah.
For the actor. Robert Pattinson.
Oh, really?
He's played a sparkly vampire. Let's play a little gruesome vampire.
Just for fun.
Just for something. Just so just he could fun. Do something a little bit different. I threw in Robert. That was just as a joke.
Yeah, I liked Seth Green and Jason Segel because they complement each other really well. They've got good comedic timing with what they do. And I think that their stature is spot on too. Because,
exactly.
I mean, Jason Segel's really tall. He's like 6'2" or 6'3" or something or other.
Yeah.
And Seth Green is 5'0". So yeah. Together, when you put them side by side and you put them in their outfits, they actually look quite good.
And they've got a little bit of chemistry and a little bit of history with each other through How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Because they both dated the same girl.
Yeah.
So, and Jason Segel could definitely pull off the gruesome side. And I love Seth Green as Dr. Evil Jr. In the Austin Powers movie. So I think he could do... Definitely do the evil side as well.
Yep.
And the thing when I was looking at the cast here, being it's a large ensemble cast, you can bring a lot of different actors and character actors into it because they're not going to be needed for long periods of time. So the fact that Jason Segel's got his own movie career that he's going, his TV series, Seth Green's very busy
doing Robot Chicken
and Family Guy and all that sort of thing, they only need to come in for... parts.
Yeah.
And I think both of them can play bad because the thing with the gruesome twosome is they use the dragon power to get advantage all the time. So they're not good eggs in any way, shape or form. Although, occasionally they'll do things to help each other out, but they use the dragon power to cheat.
Yeah.
And that mischievous evil, I think they could do the mischievous lots side of fun. Really well.
Lots of fun. I think it goes back to, once again, similar to what we were talking about with Master of the Universe, is that because it's such a big cast, you don't need to have top tier actors in all the roles.
You couldn't afford them anyway.
Yeah, but it wouldn't, for budget wise. I mean, once again, it's a very heavy CG film with a lot of cars. You know, they're going to have to make 2 or 3, maybe 4 of each of those cars as well for various scenery, plus the scenery sets.
Yeah, it's the cars with the doing
it's
their things.
It's a huge budget, It's a huge budget. You want to do it live action. You don't want to spend a lot of time actually in the green screen studios. You know, I want to spend a lot of time out on the road, which would give it that essence. That
whole race element, which is what it's all about, like the Great Race. You just want to see the cars out.
Yeah.
Going through different environments. You want to see shots of Yarkensaw Chuggabug just flying past something that's totally opposite, like an art studio.
Yeah,
Huckazor Chuggabug, and he's throwing a bottle up. And
so, what car we got next?
Number 3 is the converter car, Professor Pat Pending, which was a take on Patton Pending.
Yep.
When I was a kid and I was casting this, I only saw one.
Yep.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, I can see Christopher Lloyd. He's old.
He's old now. The fact that he's old now means that I needed to come up with a couple of different options. Jeffrey Rush is also not as old, but he can play that sort of kooky character.
Yeah.
But I actually like John Noble.
I like John from Fringe.
From Fringe.
And also from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, not so much for his Lord of the Rings work. From his Fringe work, I could really see him as a Pat Pending.
I actually like that. I would worry that he would be seen as the same type of role.
That's the pigeonholing effect that we talked about on the Flash Gordon podcast.
Yeah. I actually the only person that I could think of was David Hyde Pierce from Frasier.
Ooh.
Because he's got the similar physique. He can play that kooky role. He was great as Cecil, the brother of Sideshow Bob in The Simpsons.
Yes, that was funny.
You know, so and he's played that kind of bumbling, silly, intelligent person in Frasier. So
pigeonholing again.
Pigeonholing again a little bit. But yeah, I kind of liked him for the role of that. And once again, he's not top tier. He hasn't done a lot now.
He's got the cool voice. Now I think he could be a good option there too. So we've got a couple of different options there. But we'll go my option because it's your show. I'm the puppet master.
It's your show.
No, we'll let the fans decide. That's what we usually do when it's a 2-4. Now, the Crimson Hay Baler, the Red Max.
For me, I could only see one character. A lot of actually all of the characters that I have here, I don't have a second tier for who, if they weren't available, then I'd choose somebody else. So for me, it was Kevin James. I saw Kevin James in this role of, because it's something a little bit different.
Okay.
It's outside of his comfort zone. But when you look at Red Max side by side, they look similar.
Okay, so you've gone in for the look.
For a look. And I think Kevin James could pull it off. I really do. I think he could definitely, because normally he plays this sort of comedic, you know, buffoony sort of role. But, I mean, he does have elements. When he was doing King of Queens, for instance, he did have elements that sort of resonate, that he could be a little bit naughty and mischievous and bad and, you know, all those types of things.
Yeah, that you sort of need for the Baron.
Yeah.
Or Fred Mac, sorry.
Yeah.
Call him the Baron.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a different approach. But, like I said, I think it'd be nice to see him do something that's a little bit different and a little bit more fun.
I actually went for a bit of, like, a guest starry type role. Ooh. And I went...
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff.
Did you really?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No, I actually went Rowan Atkinson.
Okay.
Because he can do everything that you just described as Kevin James. I think he could do it as the Red Max.
Yeah.
And he gets the people from across the pond interested in the movie because it's got one of their own in it.
The English.
Bean was very popular in Asia. So that gives you a doorway into the Asian market. And I actually didn't, when I was having a look at the racial balance for this, I couldn't actually see a role.
It's not a lot of racial balance.
That we could. I've actually come up with just a little bit.
Yeah.
But for the Red Max, I went for him because of those elements. I reckon he's funny. He can pull off the villainy side of it. As I said earlier, because it's such a large ensemble cast, you don't really need him for a lot of time. So I think he could fit into the budget. I don't think he's going to be overly priced anyway.
Yeah.
But he's so popular in Asia, you could market it to the Asian market just for the fact that he is in it. So that's where I sort of decided that could, where I'd add that little bit of star power by bringing in Rowan Atkinson.
Yep, I can see that.
The Compact Pussycat is car number 5 and Penelope Pitstop. And I actually see this as one of the key roles. Along with Dick Dastardly, if I was to go down the path with my movie, the relationship, between her and Peter Perfect would be the story arc through the whole movie.
Yep.
And for this, I went for Kaylee Kukuro?
Oh, from The Big Bang Theory.
From Big Bang Theory.
Okay, that's an interesting choice.
But three factors that I went with for her were, one, Big Bang Theory is huge.
Yeah.
So that will bring in that audience, and I think you're going to need to bring in a younger audience who are unfamiliar with Wacky Races, who might want to investigate and have a look at what Wacky Races is about. She has the Midwestern accent in Big Bang Theory, so I think it wouldn't be much of a stretch to get the Southern accent onto her.
No.
And Peter Perfect's nickname for her is Pretty Penny, and she plays Penny in The Big Bang Theory. Yeah, so that's why I went for Kaylee in that role. And it'll be nice to see her on the big screen too.
Yep. I went for Yvonne Stravosky.
Ah, yes.
From Chuck and also now on Dexter.
Yeah, and Yvonne, actually, I put her down as my Shearer
for
when I talk Shearer, because I'm a huge fan in, and I thought we could chuck her in as a cameo at the end of that movie.
I kind of saw Penelope being a little bit older, because Kaylee is, you know, early 20s. Early to mid 20s. I kind of saw Penelope being a little bit older. For me, it was more about the physique, you know, she was tall and slender and all that type of thing. So that's kind of why I went with her.
Maneuvering for possession is the
Army Surplus Special. Car number 6, Sergeant Blast and Private Meekly.
Okay. I actually went with an African-American element for Sergeant Blast. And I've kind of, you're gonna see a continuing theme in some of my casting. And if you don't, I'll point it out later. But I actually went with Mark Christopher Lawrence, who played Big Mike in Chuck.
Okay, yeah.
So he's kind of got that menacing sort of sergeant sort of appeal, not afraid to yell, he's got the bald head. You could see him sitting with the tortoiseshell helmet on. And,
yeah, just sitting up there. Yeah, the top, sitting up not there, really the moving.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
So that's who I had for Sergeant Blast. Obviously, for his sidekick, Private Meekly, I had DJ Quails. DJ Quails.
Okay.
Who plays Garth on Supernatural. And he's kind of the gangly guy. I think he's also in the American Pie films.
Okay,
he's
yeah.
the gangly guy with the larger nose and never gets the ladies and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I kind of see him in that role. Once again, because that's the kind of roles that he plays anyway. So, yeah, that's who I had sort of chosen for that.
Okay, I also saw this as a potential way to get the racial balance.
Yep.
So, again, I went with black actor. I went with John Amos.
Okay, yeah.
People know him from Good Times, Die Hard 2, which they're actually making a remake of, which I'm scared about. But he also, in Die Hard 2, he played the sergeant in that role and did it really well. Yep. And he's also in West Wing. Now, he might be a little bit old, so I actually like your option as...
Good old
as
Big Mike.
Big Mike, so I do like that option. And, yeah, I'm starting to see a theme develop and... if I hear Baldwin names later on, then I'll...
It's coming.
And then Tyler James Williams is who I chose as Private Meekly.
So now, so keeping that African-American team together, so it's not just...
Keeping it as a team, so... Yeah. And purely because, you know, they could complement each other.
Yeah,
There's no particular reason for that.
Yeah.
But Tyler James Williams, he's in Go On, which is Matthew Perry's new show, Matthew Perry from...
Yep.
So he's in there, and that's where I sort of discovered him, because...
He's fun in that film, in that show, I mean.
Yeah, so I like him in that. And then when I sort of started to think of him, I wanted to see what else he had done. Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah.
He's Chris.
Yeah.
They all hate him.
Yeah.
But I love him. So...
Yeah.
But he's got that sort of nervous persona that I think could play off to the Meekly. Again, pigeonholing.
Yeah.
But I just think he'd be a good fit for that role and to get that sort of balance right. So that's who I went.
Okay.
Right behind is the Anthill Mob in their Bulletproof Bomb.
The Bulletproof Bomb is number 7, and the Bulletproof Bomb was driven by the Anthill Mob. This became the Chuggabug in The Perils of Penelope Pitstop.
Yep.
So for this, I've actually got two ways to go.
I've only got one. And the way I see it is that you've got one main character in
Clyde,
which is Clyde. That's that, and then the rest can be little people actors. They don't have to be names.
Yeah.
They can just be a cast. Clyde's the main one. He did most of the talking. He came up with the plans. You know,
he was the boss. He was the boss.
Yeah. So there's only one person that I can think of, and that's Peter Dinklage, who's obviously from Game of Thrones. And
he's just awesome.
He's in Elf, and you name it, he's done it. And I couldn't see anybody else doing the role.
He has, for a little person, and I hope that's the correct terminology.
I think that's the correct terminology these days. Yeah.
He can do the menace. He's got the look that he could be the leader of those little men, that little group.
Yeah.
And I actually picked Peter Dinklage as well for Clyde. And I think that's obvious to a little degree.
Without the pun.
But there's a few puns here. We've missed a couple along the way.
That's all right.
So, the second character, though, from the Anthill Mob that gets a little bit more airtime than the others is Ring-a-Ding.
Oh, okay.
So I'm Warwick Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Because Warwick Davis, his current show being Warwick Davis is... I've watched a couple episodes.
He's also Willow, who's also in Wicked.
He's been in Wicked. He's been in it all. He was in the Harry Potter series.
And those two are friends, actually, so they'd work really well together.
I think they'd bounce off each other and you get a lot of spark and a lot of chemistry.
Yep.
As an alternate dream cast, if we had had enough of a budget, much like they did for The Hobbit where they shrunk the cast down.
Oh, yeah.
I've put up a picture of the Sopranos cast. I think that would be Tony Soprano as Clyde. I reckon just having those guys play their Sopranos characters, but just a heightened version of, and really play it up.
Hilarious.
I think this could be that could be a fantastic comedy element. I don't think you could afford it.
No.
But if you could afford it, if the technology was at a point where they could do it, I just think those guys playing those characters,
that would be fun.
As the seven that I've got up there in the picture, I think that would be fun. And I think a lot of people would come just to see those guys as little people.
Yeah. Oh, look, that would be fun. But I think budget wise, they'd probably just go with the little people. And
number eight is Luke and Bobber Bear in the Arkansas Chuggabug.
So it's just Lazy Luke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lazy Luke.
Called himself Dognose Luke as well in one of the episodes.
Yeah. Matthew Lillard.
He's someone I considered as well.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard. He plays that role well. He played Shaggy, you know, extremely well, to the point where he is the only person who voices Shaggy now in any of the Scooby-Doo animations.
And so shoot, he did that brilliantly. Yeah. I loved him in Shaggy. Yeah. That was a while ago now. I've just recently saw him in an episode of Leverage from season 5, where he has aged a little bit.
He has aged a little bit, but don't forget too, he's a hick, so with the long hair and the straw hat and the overalls, a lot of that can be, you know, the beard, you know, I mean, he can cover a lot of that sort of stuff anyway. So that's who I sort of see in the role.
I sort of saw the character with using alcohol to propel the Chuggabug.
Yeah.
I saw Johnny Knoxville.
Okay. Yeah.
I saw Johnny Knox because I saw him in The Last Stand, the recent Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Terrible.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but I didn't.
I didn't like Johnny Knoxville in it though. I just thought he was the character that didn't need to be there, but it was there.
He probably wasn't a fit for the movie, and I think he was just in there to have someone young in it.
But for the Jackass, I mean, if you were going with a cat, if you were pushing, you know, Lazy Luke as a character that was like a Jackass character, then he'd be perfect for that role.
Yeah.
Who does these crazy things, not knowing what's going to happen, like propelling the car with alcohol, or doing something, putting some type of gadget on the car that's going to make him go quicker, but he ends up in the drink, you know, that type of thing. I think he'd be perfect for the role.
And I think he could play off the bear, because you've got to have Blubber Bear in there as well.
Yeah.
But then I actually like Matthew Lillard because he's done that with Scooby-Doo. So
he's already played
to that sort of...
To a CGI character.
Yeah, so I actually think both of them could be real.
Yeah, definitely.
I personally think both. I think you're leaning towards Matthew Lillard. I'm going to put him up there, though, because I did have him as an option.
Yep.
But I only chose the one, so that's where I went with Johnny Knoxville. And then if we can't get Ashton Kutcher, we could put Johnny Knoxville as one of the Boulder brothers.
There you go.
And then we got the Dukes of Hazzard.
That's so true.
Alrighty.
So very true.
Number nine, the Turbo Terrific, Peter Perfect.
Peter Perfect. I wanted to find somebody that kind of resonates perfect, has a really nice smile, seems like a hero. Yeah, I know, I just went right past that. you know, a little bit, got a little bit of gumption. Has done some really good bodies of work as well. And I actually went with Jamie Barber, who was in Battlestar Galactica. He played Apollo, who was...
Okay.
So, and then he obviously went off to do Law & Order UK, and he's popped up in a whole bunch of other things. But he's got the right sort of look for it. You know, he looks like a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where he's got a bit of a cheesy grin. And, yeah, I kind of liked him for the role. Another was Nathan Fillion for the role.
I like Nathan Fillion for the role.
He'd be a lot of fun. I like Nathan Fillion
in everything.
Yeah, before he did Castle, he did a series called Drive. And he was actually a race car driver, traveling from one side to the other with a mysterious past and all the rest of it. But so he's not afraid of, you know, driving cars and all the rest of it and looking good in a car.
I'll find some of that and try and link it up.
Yeah, but playing the role that he does in Castle, he'd be really good. I think he'd be funny and cheesy and adventurous and all the rest of it. So that'd be the other one I'd think of if I... Peter Perfect.
I think this is where our approaches differed because I think you saw Penelope as a little bit older.
Yep.
So you're matching, obviously, Penelope with an older Peter.
Yep.
I've actually gone a little bit younger and I nominated three Chrises for the role.
Yep.
Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, okay.
So I nominated those.
They're A-listers.
They're all A-listers. I see this as I said, there are three main roles here. Dick Darcy, who we're going to be speaking about shortly.
Yeah.
Penelope Pitstop and Peter Perfect. I think these are the ones that will both be in the race and in between in the story arc.
Yep.
So I think if you're going to afford to have an A-lister in,
yep.
I've got my cameo with Rowan Atkinson and my other, and I don't think Kaylee's actually going to be that expensive.
Yep.
So I think you can go with someone for the Peter Perfect role who is that little bit
the next level.
I think all of those guys are the right age group,
yep.
have the star power and will bring in fanboys who love them from Thor, they love them from Star Trek, or they love them from all the whole Avengers.
Unfortunately, I don't see Hollywood looking at it from the same angle. I would see them seeing this as another Scooby-Doo or Smurfs or Inspector Gadget, or that's how I see them seeing that film. And unfortunately, they would be looking towards even what's his name from The Mummy,
Brandon Fraser.
You know, Brandon Fraser played, when he played the Mountie.
Dudley Do-Right.
So I see that's what Hollywood would see this type of film being like.
Yeah.
And not being like I said, Speed Racer or something like that. That they wouldn't treat it with the respect that it deserves. So they would put these actors in that are not necessarily too old and too young. They'd sort of sit them somewhere in the middle of the pocket.
Okay.
That's how I foresee, based on what they've done with their body of work on other cartoons that they've converted into live action films.
Well, in that case, I'm going for Neil Patrick Harris.
Which
or Aldous Hodge.
Right now, Neil Patrick Harris would be perfect for, because he's doing the Smurf films.
Yeah.
So he's not too big that he couldn't be casted into that. The only problem is that he then starts getting typecasted into only working in CGI films.
Yeah.
You know, kids films.
Kids elements and outside then of what he does.
That will ruin his career. You know, that potentially could ruin his career.
Oh, I'll scrap him off. Yeah. Dastardly then, because he was another option for Dick Dastardly.
So I suppose we're down to the last one, aren't we? Are we down to...
Next, Rufus Roughcut and
Sawtooth in the Buzz Wagon. Here comes the regular theme. I'm going Adam Baldwin for Rufus. He's got the kind of the look. He's gruff. He was great in Firefly. He's got that gruff, sort of hickish kind of look for it. He's meddlesome. I kind of like him.
No, I really like him as an actor as well. Yeah, I loved him in Chuck.
Yeah, and he was great in Chuck. You know.
Yeah, I loved him in Chuck. So he was really good in that. So yeah. I think he could do the role. I put Dave Bautista.
Okay,
Only because he kind of looks like him.
Yeah,
and he's in The Man in Two Iron Fists, so he's actually trying to develop an acting career.
Yeah,
so he looks like him. He could play him that mean looking.
Yeah.
And I would just like to see him how he'd interact with a puppet Sawtooth. I just think that could just be funny because he's this big, serious, mean looking guy.
Yeah,
and he's having to deal with a Batcher.
But
that said, I'm a big fan of Baldwin's as well, so I'd be quite happy for him to take that role.
And I kind of like, you know, and I have been following a Chuck theme, and that cast are renowned for getting along and, you know, behind the scenes and actually really enjoying each other's company. So having them together as a cast on a film also helps to
bring that together. Because you're going to need the cast is going to have to enjoy this because... Yeah. It is a little bit tongue in cheek. You want them to take it that little bit serious, a little bit tongue in cheek. So exactly like the Princess Bride sort of mentality, where you're fully serious in your role, but you need to understand what you're in, and what you're in is a cartoon, a live action cartoon.
Yeah.
So that's actually a good way to go with putting together a cast. One of the important roles, apart from Dick Dastardly, was the role of the narrator.
It's a hard one. I'd probably go with, they would probably choose somebody who's already doing voice work. I would like to see someone like Drew Carey or Greg Proops or someone along those lines that's got a bit of comedy to the voice as well as presentation.
Greg Proops is who I've actually put up on that. So
there you go.
In some ways, we're on the same wavelength there. I thought he did it really well in the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
He was the commentator over the pod race.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has that. He's got that little bit of sarcasm. And I think he could interact well with your
family. Yeah, I think so.
But also, if we do build in the perils of Penelope pit stop, he could then interact at the, on that level as well, because he does talk to the hooded claw in that as well. So
I'll get you, Penelope pit stop.
That would have to be Paul Giamatti. It couldn't be anybody else for the hooded claw. Paul Giamatti.
See, we're on the same wavelength.
There you go, see.
That's who I've put down, and he's already up there, so
there you go.
You know it's true, and I'm making it up as I go along.
There you go.
No, Paul Giamatti, I think, is one of my favourite actors.
Couldn't be anybody else.
And I think he'd just pull it off really well.
Yep.
For the Basher brothers, I went the twins from Harry Potter.
Yep, I could definitely say that. Yeah, I would, you know, once again, though, some of these characters, it doesn't really matter who you put in the role, because they kind of a bit of back, you know, from the forward characters. So, you know, not all of them are going to play pinnacle roles. So it doesn't matter if you put, you know, hey, you come in here and jump in this car, you know, it doesn't, some of them don't.
Some of them don't really matter. I think, though, if you give each of them a little element, then that gives them something to, well, one, something to do, but it also gives their character their little element.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be pushing, obviously, to sell action figures and cars and stuff down the track,
yeah,
you're going to have to give not just the car, but the people in the cars that little bit of personality.
Yeah.
We are up to the final and most important piece of casting.
This will be controversy, I reckon.
It could well be.
I reckon it will be.
So, Muttley.
Well, Muttley is CGI. That's all there is to it.
That's a fair point.
And that could be anybody. You know, I'd like to see, if somebody was going to do Muttley, I'd like to see someone like John DiMaggio. Do the voice, you know, who does Bender, who also does Jake from Adventure Time. He's kind of got that gruff.
I could
hear him sort of doing the snicker and the laugh, and
I'm happy with that. Bender is my favorite
character. he'd be a lot of fun, I think, to do the voice of Muttley.
That was being a little bit facetious, but he's actually a good choice for that. But he's actually Dick Dastardly.
What can you say? That's better.
Dick Dastardly. Well, I went for a more... And this is a really off-the-wall choice. And the reason that I chose it is because I haven't seen him do the role, play a role like this, but I think that he would probably do it quite well. Dick Dastardly was, in the cartoon... Yeah, he was menacing and he was evil and he was all the rest of it, but he was also very camp, you know, he was also very silly and, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
And a little bit over the top.
And a bit over the top.
Well, the fact that he calls the narrator Boopsy, which is a feminine term.
Yeah.
He has that sort of blend both ways.
Yeah. So I'm continuing the Chuck cast actually going with Zachary Levi as Dick Dastardly. And there's a lot of silence there.
I was not expecting Zachary Levi to be nominated. I think he's young for the role. I loved him as the voice in Tangled.
Tangled.
Yeah, I loved him in Tangled. I think he did a great voice in there, and that was a different sort of take.
So I like Zachary Levi.
How do you see a young actor in that role?
I think it's because it's about the personality of, not so much the outward persona, you know, what he looks like, because in the cartoon he'd be what, 40, you know, be in his 40s,
late
wouldn't he?
40s.
Yeah. Whereas I see him as kind of a go-getter, entrepreneur, you know, really sort of high-rise businessman who wants more money or wants more prestige or wants more fame and wants more. So he's representing himself and going for it, and he's going to get everybody regardless. That's kind of how I see Hollywood perceiving him to be. And so as a result, that was my mindset. And I think that Zachary Levi's quite a stretched actor. I think he's very underused.
I think that
he could probably potentially pull it off without actually seeing him in the role. I think potentially he could pull it off really well.
Okay, We're going to agree to disagree.
I told you, controversy.
It is controversy. I sort of see the character similar in a similar way to you, although I actually see him as being older. So hence the like Alan Rickman was originally my choice when back when I was a kid and kid casting it.
Yeah,
because he was fantastic in Prince of Thieves.
Yeah,
and his portrayal of the Sheriff of Nottingham to me is how I think Dick Dastardly should be portrayed. So he's evil or bad.
He's funny.
But he's
evil.
Got a little bit. He's a bit funny.
Comedic evil.
And to me, if we could transplant Aaron Rickman from that film and bring him in as Dick Dastardly, he would be perfect, and I would take no other actor.
Yeah.
That being said, I think he's a little bit past it now.
I agree.
He's not looking that.
He's not Hans Gruber anymore.
No, he's not Hans Gruber. So he would have been perfect, but I can't have him. The guy I like, similar to what you were saying, as being that businessman who's a little bit evil and can be a bit sinister and funny. Yeah. I love Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, I can see Stanley Tucci. I mean, he's definitely got the right look for it. He's very thin. You know,
he's got the look, he's got the campness, he can rock
that long pencil mustache. You know, I could definitely see him in the role.
He's done similar roles before. He's played everything. He's been in a lot of movies, I really, really like him as an actor, so I push for him a lot. A bit like yourself, you've got a thing for the guys from Chuck.
It just sort of fit when I was looking, and I was looking through the list, and then I just sort of saw them all together. I went, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. You know, it kind of just flowed for me, and that's how my choices came. And once again, I went back to massive budget, not a lot of money for actors. You know, use actors that are actually good at what they do, do it well, but they won't be charging a bucket load of cash, which would blow the budget over.
Yeah, and Stanley Tucci as a generalist actor, and he's not a star by any shape, so he would fit into that budget.
It'd be second tier, but I mean, saying that too, he's been playing in the last couple of roles, he's been definitely up in that.
I think people have started to notice him. That's what, like he's got the role in The Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, remember when he was back in Murder One? When he was the villain, he was the bad guy in Murder One all those years ago on the TV show. And he was fantastic in that. That's what gave him his break into film.
Well, I loved him in The Pelican Brief. And he played two different characters. He played the pervy one in the and then he played the guy in the red hat who played...
That's right.
And that's when I noticed just the way he was able to shift from being like all innocent looking to that really menacing when he finally pulls out the cord in the porn theatre. And I was like, oh, that's when I noticed him the first time. And a lot of the things that I've seen him in, Big Trouble is one of my favourite films. Yep. And his portrayal in that, of that character, that's where I saw him as
Dick Dastardly.
And that's where I saw him as playing Dick Dastardly. Yeah. So he was my number one choice. I threw a couple of others up there on the page of Tim Roth, mainly because Marty loves him, so I threw him in there for him. Neil Patrick Harris
would play a really good camp.
And the whole talking to the camera, and very similar though to Barney with his plans in How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
But I think he could do it as well. But I'm sticking with Stanley Tucci. You haven't swayed me on Zachary Levi. Yeah, I'll have to go off and think about it.
I think you have to have a look at him and imagine him with the pencil mustache and the big hat and interacting with Muttley and that type of thing. And the other thing too is that I think Zachary Levi was actually in the Chipmunk movie as well. He's in one of the Chipmunk movies as well. So he's already been in a movie with a CG character, so he could potentially pull it off.
I take your point, but I think we'll agree to disagree on the most important character in the show.
But that's true.
Nice going, you numbskulls.
I'll put up your cast and my cast. I'll throw the pictures of your guys in there so that the fans can talk about it as well.
Good luck, everyone. Hope it didn't disappoint there.
You know, I think it was an interesting discussion. We're on the same wavelength for a couple of those characters. I think the actors stand out for those roles. It's always going to come down to a matter of opinion, and like we've got a difference with the ages of our lead characters. which obviously impacts on the casting. So
and it also reflects too on what Hollywood's doing right now too. You know, you got to. I was kind of keeping a mindset of how they're moving forward with a lot of these kids' films, and I mean, essentially that's what they're going to look at it as. They're not going to look at it. They look at a lot of the cartoons as kids' films. They don't look at them, oh, this is a potential franchise that we could turn into an adult action film, yeah. You know.
And which is a shame, because I think this has potential to, maybe not this per se, but yeah. A lot of these sort of shows do have that potential. Masters of the Universe, for example,
yeah.
has that potential.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the subject matter that's within that will dictate what they do, and I think, unfortunately, that's why it's very easy to differ on opinion on this rather than, say, somewhere like Masters Universe, which has a very specific goal in mind, and you know how they're going to play it. They're not going to play it camp on the next one, whereas Wacky Races, you know that there are definitely going to be funny moments and camp moments. And
it's all tongue-in-cheek.
Everyone having fun. Yeah, it's over the top and all the rest of it.
Thank you very much
for joining
me for this back-to-back podcast.
Great being here. Thanks very much for having me.
And good luck with Animation Nation and TikTok Toys.
TikTok Toy, yep.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Next up, Marty will be back, and we'll be looking at Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan!
This podcast was brought to you by the Big Top Network.